automotive shop in here in Texas. I had a car tested with the emissions before I tried it, and I was, you know, was putting out like over 1,000 parts per million of just hydrocarbon. And I changed the oil and put in one liquid ring, and 200 miles later, the engine was only putting out about half that amount of hydrocarbon.
For more information on liquid ring or to place your order, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Liquid Ring is now available through the American Freedom Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Mr. Edward Timberlake, and he's written a book along with Mr. Bevan on the showdown. It's about the problems with communist China and the very real military threat of communist China. Now, Mr. Timberlake is a graduate of the Annapolis, was a Marine fighter pilot. He's held a number of key positions in government. He's very close to what's going on behind the scenes. And this is a fascinating book because, of course, most people have forgotten that China is our enemy. We're doing everything we can to build up the economy of China. Certainly, you go down to Walmart, you buy all these very well-made, good products coming out of communist China. Certainly, many of our major corporations are moving over there. They're being subsidized by our government, by our corporate... And what has happened in China is one of the great miracles of modern times. And you've seen these cities full of skyscrapers rising up, but remember, it's all built with American and European money. Our major banks have invested. The World Bank has invested. The International Monetary Fund has invested. The Far Eastern Agency, certainly so many of our government agencies that guarantee overseas or encourage overseas investment have done this. We're actually guaranteed a loan for $5 billion. So the Westinghouse can build nuclear power plants in communist China. Of course, we can't have any new nuclear power plants in America, but we can certainly build them over there to build up their energy, supply of a tremendous increased demand for energy. China is an amazing country. Certainly, the whole structure of this communist dictatorship is changing, and yet China is our enemy, and that's really the theme of the book. Thank you so very much for being with us again.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on. It's always an honor, and I'm glad to be on your show, especially with this Korean situation evolving.
Well, why don't you cover that and why you're concerned? Because how can it be on one hand we're doing everything we can to build up communist China, and yet they are a real military threat to it? Doesn't make any sense.
No, and it didn't to my co-author and I. I used to write books that were very fact-based. I still, part of the book, Showdown, has a very strong analytical bent. But we also decided to project into the future and write various scenarios about the U.S. in conflict, all evolving from the People's Republic of China doing something evil and bad to trigger hostilities. And we do have a chapter on Korea. We didn't actually predict the missile launch at this moment, but we do talk about the, and I will use this, and it may cheapen my argument, but the crazy leader of North Korea, which even I think people on the far left recognize that anybody that turns his country into resorting to eating grass and maybe even some allegations of cannibalism. It's a horrible place. And that's just pure allegations coming out of strange quadrants. But the ruler of North Korea has obviously done an awful lot of damage to to his citizens. So when he decided, and he decides because he is the dear leader, maximum ruler, to pull out a missile and put it on a launch pad that's capable of touching down or having its payload touch down on CONUS, which is what the military calls continental United States, West Coast, or up on the Alaskan rim, or maybe Hawaii, America should stand up, take note, and do something about it. Now, here's where the situation is very interesting to me, in that an awful lot, and it comes from the Clinton administration, they kicked the can down the road. they knew that North Korea was capable of building nukes, and they went into denial on that, and they just passed an active and aggressive weapon program right into the lap of the Bush administration. I'm speaking now as an author, and that's, you know, of the book Showdown. And the bottom line is that you have married up both nuke weapons and missile technology that is of great concern. So there has to be a response. Well, what has happened, in my personal opinion, is that there are various factions, coalitions, countries now worried that maybe the dear leader, the head of North Korea, has gone too far. Because the American response has been, so far, very, very good. The People's Republic of China, in my opinion, is the root cause of the problem. 10 years ago, when I first started on Capitol Hill writing about this and looking at this from the Rules Committee as a senior professional staff member under Chairman Jerry Solomon, the late Jerry Solomon, a great leader of Congress, we heard from the DIA, unclassified, by the way, that when you overlay a Chinese missile on top of a North Korean missile, it matches down to the rivets. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that the Chinese People's Republic of China missile program, the second artillery, has hand-in-glove relationship with North Korea. So I argue that China is not the solution to the problem. In other words, everybody's looking at what they used to call the six-party talks, which are still out there, and the parties, Russia, Japan, U.S., China, Koreas. And the bottom line is China, I think, is being looked at by certain members of the liberal community as a force for good and a force for moderation of Korea. In other words, helping us solve the problem. My argument is the Chinese are creating the problem. Well, they overstepped. They pushed it too far. And why did they push it too far? Because we just saw yesterday a U.S. Navy Aegis ship fire a improved Standard 3 missile that, according to open-source press releases, the Washington Post today said it goes out 100 miles or so. That's pretty powerful stuff coming off the deck of a Navy ship. As you introduced me, I'm from the Naval Academy. I graduated from the Naval Academy. So the American missile response had a big gap in its development. I worked for Ronald Reagan as a Defense Department official for a while, and he was mocked and belittled for creating, quote, what they used to mock as Star Wars. And then during the Clinton years, everything went in abeyance. We had no enemies. Oh, let's not worry about this. In fact, it was so ugly that a good man, General Hugh Shelton, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, about 10 years ago, I guess, or 8 years ago, went up to Capitol Hill to testify about missile defense. And I remember because I was there. And he basically said that our intelligence community is so good, we'd know if North Korea, you know, they're 5 years out. That was his testimony. You can look it up. Well, about 3 weeks later, the first missile shot was taken by the North Koreans, and it splashed down north of Hawaii.
We'll be back here in just a moment, please. Hold your thought here at the American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it. Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245. It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone. No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Edward Timberlake, and as we mentioned, a graduate of the Naval Academy, a Marine fighter pilot, and he's been in key positions in government, working there in Washington, D.C., in the Reagan administration, and subsequent administrations. But he has written, along with Mr. Jeff Babin, a book called Showdown, and it's talking about communist China. And, of course, this incredible situation where we are building up the best enemy massive amounts of American money can buy. And, of course, certainly he's pointing out that North Korea, which, of course, we're so concerned about, and they have missiles, you know, that may even have the ability to reach the United States, and they can put nuclear weapons on top of that. And does anybody honestly think that North Korea, that can't even feed its people, oh, a nation where people are starving to death today, that they can honestly build this sophisticated technology on their own with their massive universities and scientific background? And of course not. It's all being transferred from communist China that got so much of its technology from Washington, D.C. So pick the story up.
Well, I left your listeners on the point where the first shot a couple years ago splashed down north of Hawaii. So the world took notice, and America took notice, and we're very fortunate that President Bush has instituted and revitalized and invigorated an ABM, anti-ballistic missile program. Right now, they've declared that up in Fort Greeley and ringing down into, I believe, California, that they've gone kind of in an operational phase. To be very fair, and this is an important note, it's in the first R&D / now development stages, so it's just like taking a brand new car out on the road with revolutionary devices in it, and there's a lot of kinks to be worked out, but the North Koreans have triggered the American response to start moving very quickly to make some of our anti-missile technology operational, as yesterday demonstrated, or they appropriately claimed that it was a test scheduled a while ago. A U.S. ship just fired a 100-mile out reach of its Standard III missile, which is, by the way, the development level of a missile that is already operational right now off the coast of Korea. It's the Aegis weapons radar system linked to very effective missiles on ship decks that can reach out their open source, completely published 90-some-odd miles to hit a missile as it leaves the launch pad and goes into its trajectory. So there are some options. Whether we hit it, whether we take the shot or yet is being debated, of course, open in the press and with various statements being made. But independent of that, this opportunity brings home to the American people what a dangerous world we live in, and the People's Republic of China are not our friends in this situation. So by the North Koreans doing this, that has really invigorated, in my opinion, the need and the demonstrated need for a very, very strong and robust effort in missile technology, in anti-ballistic missile technology, and a defense budget. I realize from your listening that your advertising area is in the Boulder area. I will reach across to my very liberal friends, and I have, surprisingly, as a, you know, a Reagan Republican, I have a lot of liberal friends on the issue of human rights. And the People's Republic of China, our heart, my co-author and I's heart, goes out to the people there, who really, I think, the Chinese people deserve better than their government. Their government has created this problem, and the consequences will be that we're closer to the edge of a flashpoint in Korea. Now, why is that scary in general? Because we do have a chapter on that, where the North Koreans, again, I was on the DMZ a few years ago, 1998, which is a long time ago now, and was briefed that they have 17,000 artillery tubes ready to fire right on the DMZ. That's a lot of artillery. As a Marine trained as an infantry officer first and as a fighter pilot, we'll take them out. We have capable precision-guided munitions, B-2s, Air Force Strike Eagles, Navy carrier aircraft, FNA-18, Hornets. They can will eat those artillery tubes and into oblivion. But the point being, it takes a while to take them out, and they're going to do an awful lot of damage. So a flashpoint in Korea is always of great concern. Seoul, to remind your listeners, is right up on that border, and that's a very vibrant city. I mean, it's a very it's a Denver-like city. I mean, it's skyscrapers, people going about commerce, and they live in the shadow of the dear leader, as he's called, the head of North Korea, who is very unstable. So the world in this area is coming closer to a flashpoint. One of the scenarios we predict it could happen. But let's get to the basic bottom line. Could you imagine, or your listeners imagine, what a wonderful world it would be if the People's Republic of China was a free, fair, open, democratic society with a First Amendment? The tension of the world, the possibility of horror at a high level of exchanges of ugly weapons, nukes, would go away. Not necessarily completely. You always have to prepare and worry. But a free and fair, open China would take an awful lot of the tension and the evil that they are doing around the world off the table. And why do I say evil? Because they're reaching into Sudan, where recently there's been charges of genocide and starvation. They're tying themselves closely to Iran. I don't think Iran is a force for good in the Middle East at all. I think they are a scary country. Their president has said some very ugly things about Israel. My heart goes to the Israelis. They're in a very tough situation. And with the People's Republic of China helping Iran and Islamic fundamentalists in a lot of ways, because this stuff bounces into that world, they're not helping in the Middle East. So the whole focus, I think, of American deterrence and defense policy has to be, obviously, keep an eye on terrorism. We've got to worry about that. We've got to worry about Islamic fundamentalism. We've got to worry about constant combat in the Middle East and support our guys, my fellow Marines in Iraq, and things like that. But we also have to have the overarching key weather eye, I'm using a nautical term here, towards the emerging growth of the People's Republic of China. In my personal opinion, Secretary Rumsfeld understands that and is very, very good on China. The American military is reorienting some of our assets in that area. We are demanding transparency. You said it best in the way in which you introduced it, the trade. And to be fair, I have no problem with wheat and beanie babies. America does have a trading global. We're a nation of traders, and I mean that in a positive way. And that's appropriate. But to watch where the money is going, and to remind your listeners, they may not know this, the People's Republic of China has what they call a 16-character policy. You know, they write in images, and there are 16 characters. And it basically states that all instruments coming into China, trade, technology, is first and foremost looked at as a tool of state defense, defense in the sense that it is first run through their military bureaus. Does it help our military? Things like cell phones, things like computers. Computers are not making China free. Unfortunately, the American firm should be ashamed of themselves because they have made a lot of money, God bless them, on reaching out and creating the greatest computer revolution the world has ever seen as far as search engines and ease of access and transparent knowledge. It's a great, great thing for humanity, for me to sit at my computer and study medical issues or stay in touch with family members. But the bottom line is, when you translate their effort, their great entrepreneurial effort, and they've got billions for their, and that's how our system rewards people, into China, the search engines become instruments of state oppression and state police state policy. I am not exaggerating this. The Wall Street Journal had a wonderful article, a bad article, but an article that described how a very smart, very attractive Chinese undergraduate student, she would mingle with her fellow classmates. Then at night, she would go over to the ministry building and monitor computer chat rooms. And we're not talking about monitoring for, you know, unseemly pornographic material. No, that's not the issue here. They were monitoring for any anti-state comments, any anti-state tendencies. And they actually used the Google, and I think it was Google, I don't want to get sued here, so they used one of the American search engines to zero in and go back and find out. The People's Republic of China state police found a stringer or a reporter who was giving information to the New York Times about freedom and activities in China, and they identified this person. Well, obviously, the full weight of the state fell on them, and when that happens in China, that's a heavyweight fall. I mean, they tend to put people off in gulags and do very ugly things to their political prisoners. Bottom line is, I am very concerned about the high-tech technology flowing into China, especially that technology that has dual-use capabilities.
But, you know, we know that during the Clinton administration, they transferred some of our most sensitive technology that allowed the Chinese communists to MIRV their intercontinental ballistic missile weapons, and so that they could actually, you know, pinpoint targets in the United States. Now, that was done intentionally and purposely by Bill Clinton at the request of Loral. You know, this was the Treasonous Act, and nobody's ever accused, you know, suggested that the people who did that, you know, should go to prison. Some poor Chinese fellow over here shipping some secrets back to China, of course, will be sent to prison, but not the President of the United States when he gives the most sophisticated technology we had, you know, to the Chinese communists. Why would Bill Clinton be that stupid, and why doesn't anybody call him a traitor?
Well, actually, I vowed never to use the T word against Bill Clinton, but for your listeners, you know, edification, I was the professional staff member, the senior professional staff member for National Security on the House Committee on Rules, the senior committee in the House of Representatives, and I actually was the staff officer working up two things. The creation of the Cox Committee, which was the investigation into exactly what you're talking about, Loral and others transferring information that helped, aided, and abetted the upgrading and reliability and accuracy of Chinese strategic missilery. That is a fact. I went right up against Bernard Schwartz and Loral. I tried to investigate to the fullest extent of our ability, and I watched what happened. To remind your listeners, it's old history now. It was 96, 97, 98. But Mr. Schwartz and Loral went from, I believe, 800,000 in campaign donations to 14 million to Bill Clinton and the DNC. So I'll leave your listeners to draw the conclusion there. But what happened was the whole tenor, the whole focus of the impeachment process on Bill Clinton went off on a tear or a direction towards Monica Lewinsky. My boss, the late Chairman Solomon, called me in and said, Ed, please, this is your investigation, your letters for me are not to focus or even think of anything to do with this Lewinsky matter. That's not something we're going towards, which I commend him for. He said, our focus always will be until I leave my job, and he unfortunately left early and died of a disease, cancer. My focus is always national security. Bill Clinton betrayed America by letting this happen. But Jerry Solomon is very strong on that point. So, sir, there were people up there worried about it. We didn't have the attention and the mass to go in that direction of the votes and the congressional focus. Great tragedy, shame on all people that went in a different direction because they failed and they didn't address the big issue, which was national security transfer to China. But I was neck deep in the middle of that and wrote both Year of the Rat and Red Dragon Rising on that experience, the first two books.
We have both of them and appreciate, you know, the material you put out. But I think every citizen should ask this question. We should never forget, why were we worried about Monica Lewinsky when there were so many other really important things that Ken Starr should have focused on, and he didn't, and the media did not call him to task?
Yeah, exactly right, because very bluntly, the Monica case, you know, whatever it was and whatever the intricacies of it were, and as I said, I didn't really follow it that much because I didn't want to. I wanted to keep my focus, my energy, and my 24/7 diligence on national security, but they went the other way. We missed an opportunity there.
We'll be back in just a moment with Mr. Timberlake, and of course, this is an important subject.
Over the summer, children who are out of school shouldn't be out of recreation or guidance. For many troubled youths, the first step towards drugs and crimes is having nothing better to do. So take your kids to a park, beach, campground, or give them supervised activity today. The best weapon against delinquency and crime is family time. That's from Continental Transport Inc., where they're always working to make our area a safer place to live, work, and raise a family. That's your friends at Continental Transport Inc. in Brighton. Rocky Mountain Shooters, your supplier of both new and used guns, handling all major brands with over 350 guns and inventories. We'll take your guns in on trade or purchase them outright. Come in, see us first. 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry Street in Fort Collins. We're also the largest gun safe dealer in the region. We carry a full line of Security National and Liberty safes for your home, office, cabin, or RV use. Whatever your needs, we have the unit for you. Located 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry Street. Come see us at Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply.
16 of 16 terminally ill cancer patients fully recovered during a 1934 study sponsored by Dr. Milbank Johnson and the University of Southern California using Dr. Royal Rife's frequency generator. Rife invented the world's most powerful optical microscope capable of seeing a living virus. With it, he isolated bacteria and viruses that cause many diseases, such as asthma, allergies, arthritis, bronchitis, colitis, diabetes, Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, herpes, lupus, migraines, shingles, staph, strep, psoriasis, and more. Rife then found the frequencies that would destroy many viruses and bacteria. Doctors used Rife's instrument in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and reported very high success rates. To receive the historic one-hour documentary about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife's lifelong quest to eliminate disease, call 1-888-486-4420. Call now for the free video and brochure about Rife's amazing discoveries. Call 1-888-486-4420 now.
They fight for freedom and justice, battling the most notorious evil villains the world has ever known.
My baby! Save him!
From far-off galaxies to the depths of the Earth, they face unspeakable foes that no one else dare. Banded together under one name, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and Green Lantern are the Justice League to help launch the 45th anniversary celebration of Six Flags, the biggest and best year that Six Flags has ever had. Don't miss the Island Kingdom Water Park with more than 11 great wet and wild rides and attractions, the new Daily Bugs Bunny Parade Spectacular, the all-new Carnival de Fuego Fireworks Show, and the amazing Acrobats of China. With all these amazing shows and rides, a trip to Six Flags Elitch Gardens is the most out of this universe fun your family can get in one non-stop action-packed day. Plus, meet and thank all of your favorite members of the Justice League for ridding the world of evildoers.
Curse you, Justice League!
Get your discount tickets at SixFlags.com. Six Flags Elitch Gardens. More than a theme park, it's an experience.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and simply I would point out that as the media focuses our attention on the danger of Korea. Korea may have a weapon, a missile that can hit the United States. But, of course, the real threat is not North Korea. The real threat is China, Communist China, that provides Korea with the technology for their nuclear weapons and for their missiles. And, of course, China is preparing for war. And one of the basic tenets of China is one day there's going to be a war with America. Isn't that a fair statement?
Very fair, very fair. Our book has subtitled Why China Wants War with the United States. And in order for them to demonstrate hegemony, which is a fancy word meaning control of the Asian Pacific Rim, They have to have, finally, a showdown with the United States of America. It is important from their perspective to make sure that the nation states around the Pacific Rim, Japan through Philippines, Taiwan, into Southeast Asia, and reaching into India, understand that when China emerges finally with the weaponry that we our trade has allowed them to buy from the Soviets, steal from us, and grow at home grow, which actually they're not too good at developing their own. When they finally arrive at the point where they think they have sufficient quality and quantity, they will try and, I think, pick a fight intentionally. And we have various scenarios of why, I mean where. But bottom line, when they pick the fight, they've got to defeat us. To remind your listeners, they may not like my talk like this, but we are a superpower, but we're a superpower for good. The greatest comment I made was America has a good system, a wonderful system, a constitutional-based, democratic system, and we have good and bad people in our system. China has an awful system. They're a totalitarian, communist-based dictatorship, more fascist now than communist, and they, to be fair, have good and bad people in China, but their government is not good, and they need to demonstrate, ultimately, that they have the power and the might to drive America, roll America back, and thereby mute or temper down South Korea, Japan, places like that. It's the equivalent of, and I hope none of your listeners had this, you know, I was a Marine fighter pilot, and I grew up, you know, in a rock'em sock'em world, you know, Naval Academy, played rugby, boxer, and all that. And, you know, in the playground, there's like a bully. And the philosophy of a bully like China is not only do I, the bully, China, have to win, but you have to lose. I mean, it's a two-step process in building up their capabilities to bully people, but then they have to demonstrate that somebody has to lose. And the person, the team, the people, the constitutional government that has to lose or back down is America. It's just a matter of when. We can stop it. There are two prescriptions to stop this horrible evolution towards a very ugly scenario. One of the issues, by the way, is oil, and that's a conflict that we've got to address, in, you know, around the globe. But we can stop the march of the People's Republic of China one of two ways. Either, which we're doing right now, as I speak, by turning on our anti-ballistic missile system, by demonstrating shots, by talking about shooting it down, we are showing that we are continuing, this administration is continuing the march towards deterrence, towards stopping them, saying, don't even try. You want to launch your missiles? We'll shoot them down. You want to put your ships at sea and shoot at us? They'll be sunk by the LA-class submarines beneath the waves. So we are doing that part of it. The second half of it, I think, is what your listeners really touch on, if I hear the advertising base that comes in the breaks, that the reach of freedom and religion into China is a very powerful force. And I was talking to Chinese dissidents at dinner about a week ago, and a very knowledgeable young lady told me that they estimate there's about 200 million Christians, underground church members in China. That is beginning to become a very sizable force. I don't know if that's true or not. That was just her comment. The second thing is, the People's Republic of China has picked a fight with the Catholic Church. I mean, let's remind everybody, Pope John Paul, working with Lech Walesa and Solidarity and behind the scenes the U.S. government, and, by the way, labor unions, Lane Kirkland, took down the Soviet Empire, tear down this wall, by Ronald Reagan's great quote, by working through the Catholic Church and Solidarity into Poland. And lo and behold, the soft facade, which it was, of the Soviet Union, crumbled. Well, the same thing may happen in China. I don't know. But by picking a fight with the Catholic Church, and what do I mean by that? I mean they've created a fake Catholic Church. They're ordaining their own members. Well, the Vatican can't stand for that, I believe, and they will stop that and excommunicate people who do that. So there is this whole Christian movement, both Protestant and Catholic in China, that has some force behind it for good. And then the other part of it is what they call the Falun Gong movement, which is a meditative movement which has shifted from pure meditation and now declaring openly that China's evil. I don't adhere to Falun Gong. I haven't studied it well enough to make a judgment on it, except to say when I see Falun Gong practitioners, they're meditating. They're basically grandmothers and kids and families doing meditative exercising. Not necessarily the New Age yoga that America tends to do, but in their own way, it tends to signal out to me that they're of a meditative, contemplative, philosophical base. Well, what's the Chinese government response to Falun Gong? And this is real. They throw grandmothers off the train for doing it. They grab them in Tiananmen and drag them out by their hair. Now, the scary thing, and this is really scary to me, the People's Republic of China is making a very false face on business. We have you introduced this, by the way. We have skyscrapers. I was in Shanghai a while ago, and it was told to me at that point that in Shanghai, that city has 17% of the construction cranes in America. What I mean by those construction cranes are those long, thin things that stick up that can build high rises, and they have 17% of them around the globe concentrated in Shanghai. So where is it going? Well, you can look at the emerging Chinese middle class, and they can buy a car maybe, which will just demand the drive for drive the demand for oil through the roof. But it will eventually come into conflict with America, because as they try and mollify and buy off the middle class, there is a dissident element in China at the peasantry level. Poor people out in the vast reaches of China aren't prospering as much. So there's always this disconnect. So what did the Chinese government do? They arrest political prisoners. They also have capital crimes, to be fair. You know, every country has to stop murders and criminals, and no country has an exemption from that rule. You know, there are evil sociopaths. That's I'm not talking the criminal element here. We have it, they have it. But what they do now, and this is, I think, open source and reported accurately, they execute political prisoners for their organs. Now, that is scary. ABC News started talking about that a while ago, and by the latest count, about 60,000 people have had their organs harvested. That is pure Orwellian, Nazi, ugly horror above and beyond a line that humanity can stand.
Well, certainly I agree with what you're saying, but why would the President of the United States, within the last 2 months, honor the President of this ruthless country? A president who, and allow him to come to the United States and be honored here, and give him respectability, which would only tend to discourage those who would cherish freedom in China. We'll be right back with Mr. Timberlake and ask him those questions.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Friends and neighbors, come one, come all. It's the American Freedom Network's annual 4th of July picnic. We're going to start the day Tuesday, July the 4th, about 7 a.m. with a special prayer breakfast at Johnson's Corners with Dr. Stan Monteith. Then we'll hit the park in Johnstown about 10:30 for barbecue, music, and fun, plus guest speakers Dr. Stan Monteith and Avi Lipkin, and all your favorite talk show hosts. We hope to see you there. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245.
With so much concern over the world economy, rising interest rates and skyrocketing oil prices, and a more than 50-50 chance that the entire electronic infrastructure may collapse globally, how come not one so-called expert is advising Americans to buy gold? Could it be that they're not telling us everything? Gold and silver will retain value when everything else fails. Don't get caught when they can't find your IRA or 401k. Call the Patriot Trading Group. We don't offer free reports or newsletters. We don't take your phone number, and we don't play games. Just the finest product at the fairest prices and the fastest delivery in the entire industry. Call 1-800-951-0592. We've helped thousands of good people on the Colorado Front Range get prepared, and we can help you too. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 for price quotes or information. And remember, I'm right behind you. That way when we turn around and run, I'll be in front.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Mr. Edward Timberlake, and of course, his book, Showdown We Carry. We think it's a great book. We think there's a lot of great information in here that you need to know about communist China, but I simply ask the question, why, you know, as horrible and as ruthless and as this country is, and certainly arresting Christians and executing people and harvesting their organs, why would our President Bush, a Christian president, invite President Hu of China to the United States and honor him and give him credibility, which would only tend to discourage those people within China who are hoping one day for freedom?
Well, that's a hard question to answer in one respect, because you can always send a signal that by meeting with the president to president that you have empowered or blessed the other country's system. But I will go back to, I think it was FDR. Now, here I am, a Reagan Republican, quoting FDR, who I have to respect an awful lot of what he did. He carried the country through World War II very successfully. And he had a great quote, which is, we do not fear to negotiate, but we will not negotiate out of fear. So I think president-to-president exchanges, you know, set a tone, and things can transpire that says you better, you know, change. I don't know what occurred behind closed doors. And to remind everybody, when the president of China showed up, this was not scripted, but it was amazing. They had a Dr. Wang, I believe was her name, who had press credentials. To remind your listeners, they may not have seen it, but and it wasn't scripted. I mean, this was pure, American freedom and First Amendment rights in full display to the world. She started to lecture the president of China on Falun Gong, and his days were numbered, I think, of words to that effect. Instantaneously, I mean, within seconds, that whole cutaway to her yelling was blacked out in China. It was not going, which proved, I think, to the world, one, how effective they are in their propaganda, and two, how sensitive they are. They grossly overreacted. So in a strange way, president-to-president's meetings have often strange consequences. What I take great exception to, and a trend may be starting here, may not be, but during the Clinton years, again from the Hill, I wrote on this, and my boss Jerry Solomon said, get in the middle of this. We used to have the American military called military-to-military exchanges, in which the Chinese military is allowed to see what we do under the guise of, if they see it, they'll be intimidated. Oh, baloney. Under the guise of seeing it, they're spies. They will copy, they will study, they will look, they will steal. And the tactics, not just the technology, the American tactics are what you have to protect, the way we go about fighting a war. I mean, we have set the stage around the world for being the most preeminent, thoughtful, smart operators of military equipment I think the world has ever seen. I know I'm talking in Colorado to an Air Force, probably some retirees, maybe even active. The U.S. Air Force air campaigns are visionary. I mean, they are unbelievably good. My heart and soul is always with the Navy Marine Forces and our anti-submarine warfare efforts, our submarine efforts. My dad was a submariner, our fighter pilot tactics out of Top Gun where I flew Aggressor. All these things are to be prized and guarded. During the Clinton years, the People's Republic of China would have spies, i.e. colonels, majors, lieutenant colonels, under the guise of being, you know, an officer but also a collector, in the middle of all that, writing notes, studying, seeing how we do it, which we didn't want to go out. Very recently, military-to-military exchanges have occurred in the Pacific where they welcome the People's Republic of China military to watch one of our Pacific war games. At a certain level, admirals talking to admirals, fine. But to remind everybody, that was the argument I heard years ago when the commanding admiral of the Pacific said, I've got to get close to my Chinese counterparts so so that we have each other's phone number. When things go bad, we can talk to each other and calm the situation down. Well, to remind everybody, when that J-8 Chinese fighter hit the American P-3 piloted by the American pilot who saved the airplane but put it down on Hainan Island, you remember the P-3 incident, they had the phone number, but the phone number was disconnected. So all that philosophy, the Admiral, same Admiral tried to call, by the way, he's then retired, it didn't work. So I do take exception to the ability of the American military to give away information, because we're open and we're generous once someone wants to see how we do things. I've been there. I mean, I'm very proud of what I did. I used to open the air show at Andrews Air Force Base with my F-4, and then I'd park the airplane and stand there. And anybody in America that came up to me, I was so proud of what that aircraft could do that I'd tell them what I was doing. I didn't step over any lines, but somebody could just glean through my attitude and the way we discuss things, important issues. Well, to get the Chinese military in the heart and soul of our operations, I think is wrong. So to answer the long way around the base path here on your question, I really, truly have no problem with presidents talking to presidents and four stripers or four stars talking to four stars. It's a global world, and you do have issues, and maybe you can get some information both ways or send some powerful signals. But when it gets below that, I take great exception.
And I agree with you. Well, look, I so much appreciate your being with us. Our guest has been Mr. Edward Timberlake, and of course, we're talking about his book, Showdown. He wrote that with Mr. Babin, and Mr. Babin's has been in key positions in government as well, hasn't he?
Oh, he's absolutely a first-class individual. He was an Air Force JAG. I did not know this. We did a book signing, and I'm very proud of Jed. His dad was a Marine mentioned in a great book about the Marine Corps in World War II called Guadalcanal Diary. His dad is in that book as a Marine platoon commander. Talk about a lineage of honor for a family. And Jed was a deputy undersecretary, very capable man, very smart guy, wrote about the European community really not being very helpful to America. He ripped them apart. So I am very proud to be a co-author with a man of that stature and that insight. He's an attorney also. You see him on television. Look for Jed. You'll see him. He's on Kudlow and other always defending, by the way, the issue of you got to watch free trade a little bit. I mean, we're both, I think I'm not speaking for Jed on this, but we both understand the global interdependence of trade at a certain level. But you got to darn well be careful stopping the dual use and high tech military stuff going to China, and also put a marker down and stop Chinese espionage here in America. If anybody in the sound of my voice senses that the People's Republic of China are stealing things, stop it. Report it to the FBI. Stop it.
Well, God bless you. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silverbiotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states Silverbiotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silverbiotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
American Freedom Network. We're going to carry the book. If you'd like to get it, you call our 800 number, 800-544-8927. Showdown, an excellent book. But I would simply ask, you know, we supposedly are developing an anti-ballistic missile system. Our courageous president has canceled the treaty with the Soviet Union, and now we've built six anti-ballistic missiles. Now, the Soviets have several thousand missiles aimed at America with nuclear warheads on them. But you don't have to worry. President Bush has six anti-ballistic missiles. Of course, they really don't work, or work very well. We could build an anti-ballistic missile system in the 1970s that worked. It worked fine. But we just can't figure out how to build one today. Furthermore, of course, we could, with very, very little effort, we could develop the anti-ballistic missile technology on the Aegis carriers, but it has been consistently blocked by the Bush administration, which is doing everything they can to build up communist China. And, of course, we are sharing our technology, our military technology, with Chinese military officers, exactly as we did with the Germans immediately before the Second World War. And none of this makes sense unless you understand that we are moving towards a war with China and probably with Russia as well. And remember those words of Thomas Jefferson, for I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. Well, we have a great four-tape set on China. It's one of the older four-tape sets. You need to get it. You need to listen to the stories of the people who were in China when China took over. You must also understand that we brought communism to China. If you haven't read the section of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, that simply quotes from the Senate Investigative Committee reports immediately after the Second World War, pointing out that the American State Department, controlled by the Council on Foreign Relations, put an arms embargo on the nationalist Chinese so they couldn't buy weapons anywhere in the world. While our mass media and our State Department and our universities and our foundations did everything they could to tell everybody that Mao Tse-tung wasn't a real communist. He was simply an agrarian reformer who was going to improve the lot of the people. Why did they do that? Because they didn't want the competition from a free China. They did not want anything, of course, to interfere with the power of the United States. Because even at that time, the idea was America was to rule the world and bring the whole world into this one world system. And we were going to work with the communists. We were going to build up the communists, but we would always hope that we would be able to control the communists. But sometimes, you know, it's like feeding a tiger meat and hoping he's going to become a vegetarian. One day that tiger is going to turn on you. We live in uncertain times. Let me suggest our four-tape set on China, a very important one of our classics, and then, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will actually quote from the Senate, we call it the Pat McCarran Committee Report, Senate Subcommittee on Internal Security. If you, any of you really want the original documentation, we can send you the pages from that report. It's so vitally important that you understand that nothing is as it appears to be, and behind everything are the powerful spiritual forces guiding the world towards destruction. And we are in very, very real problems. God is going to bring his judgment on this nation because we've turned against God. Understand that? Please call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. Pray for America, pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
talk to the American Freedom Network, contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously